Hour number three, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com and Outkick 360 as well. You can check it out every day from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. PK, welcome to the show. You've been everywhere this week. I enjoyed your appearance on the McAfee Show as well.
Yeah, Pat is a fun guy. I got to know him a little bit when I was covering the AFC South for ESPN, so it was nice of him to have me.
So Pat says, Titans, you guys, your team, you're this, and you didn't correct him. So are you now a cheerleader for the Titans, Paul?
No, I know how not to waste time on a broadcast by spending time on that, because I've been broadcasting for a good while, Joe. I would think that you would know how to go about something like that, but I guess you're not invited on national shows a lot.
Oh, I love it. So you waste months like trying to find Jason Wolf's picture or pee on it or whatever you did, but you don't waste time on broadcast. That's beautiful. That
is
beautiful.
If you don't understand the difference between an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show and getting the Jason Wolf banner and how those are not the same thing, you really, I guess you're still in mourning from dropping off your son, and I can understand the emotions that you're going through.
Wait a minute, were you wearing a Music City Malik t-shirt? You wearing a Music City Malik t-shirt?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm getting. I got sources talking about a Music City Malik t-shirt. That's not involved with you.
Are crap.
Okay.
I might have tweeted something about.
Oh, there is something to this.
So tweeting now. I mean, the things you're conflating. Tweeting something about a t-shirt and wearing a t-shirt, Joe, are not the same thing either. You're a mess.
I think that would be a good cheerleader move to put that shirt on.
Good gracious, it's gone off the rails already.
You're going to approach that you want to somehow cast me as a cheerleader.
Look how mad
everyone
he's getting
that's
now.
Listening to you and your co-host, no. Like, if you're going to attack me, the one thing you can attack me for is being a cheerleader.
I don't think
everybody thinks I hate the Titans, which is inaccurate, but I like them less than everybody in the media, including you.
Oh, now up to soft media now. Okay. All right, go ahead, ask Paul a question.
So, PK, the 53-man roster out yesterday, what were a couple things that stood out to you, in particular at running back? What did you make of the decision to keep Julius Chestnut on the roster?
Well, he's not going to be on the roster very long because it makes no sense to keep five, or Hassan Haskins is in trouble. Because what are you going to do with five running backs on game day? I mean, he's okay on special teams, but he's not a superb special teams player. I know Mike Vrabel is a fantastic coach. Nobody says so more than me, but when Mike Mularkey kept five tight ends, I think the number was he was a universal laughing stock. So this is not I wouldn't imagine a permanent move. I think you keep him there for a day or a couple days, and it increases your chances that when you make a move, he's less likely to be snatched up somewhere else and more likely to land on your practice squad. I would say the same thing about defensive line with Kevin Strong and or Deshaun Hand. Seven is heavy there, and they need some help at other positions. I would think they need a fourth tight end. If you're going to be a two tight end team, which is what it looks like they're going back to in base, I think you need a fourth guy there to assure that you've got some depth. So I think those are the two biggest questions in terms of numbers.
What about receiver? What about Marcus Johnson released by the 49ers?
I don't know why you want Marcus Johnson back. You're falling into the fan trap like, oh, we know this guy, so we must have him back.
He was pretty good last year when he wasn't hurt.
He was pretty good at getting hurt is the key thing. I mean, they need a guy they can count on. You're probably a big fan of Will Fuller, too, who plays 54% of his games. They need a receiver. I don't think it needs to be Marcus Johnson. Terry McCormick says that Racy McMath is going to IR. So they're really thin at wide receiver, but I'm glad that they didn't give that spot to Dez Fitzpatrick, and I hope their solution isn't to give it to Dez Fitzpatrick today after they make a move with Racy McMath. I hope they're going outside and bringing in some fresh blood because Des Fitzpatrick is not good.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, you know, I can't wait for like the next week when we don't talk about backup quarterbacks anymore. But is Malik Willis, in your mind, is he the number two? Or if Tannehill were to go down for a week or two and Woodside makes it through to the practice squad, who do you think's playing in that game? Let's say it's a one-game scenario for the Titans right now.
A one-game scenario where they get to game plan and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this indicates that it would be Malik Willis. You know, you write up a limited game plan for him that emphasizes the things that he does well, and the Titans have done that in the past with Blaine Gabbert and had success at times. Everybody's in a bad situation if that's where you land up, with the rare exception. You know, I think San Francisco will be in good shape now, provided Garoppolo stays healthy. But I think people are too excited about Malik Willis. I think he'll struggle. I think nationally, particularly, you know, people have seen the highlights and not the lowlights and think that he's challenging Tannehill, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, he can do some limited things, and they could craft a game plan around that, and it would be a very heavy Derrick Henry and defensive game. But, you know, on 3rd and 10, if he's going to roll out and slide with 3-yard gain, you know, at some point in that situation, he's going to need to make a play, and it's probably going to need to be with his arm, and he still has a long way to go. And he's not going to be getting the practice snaps now, and he's not going to have a preseason game every 7 days. So I think the growth will slow.
So based on all the information we have and the trajectory you've seen, Paul, is Malik Willis a potential contender to start for the Titans in 2023?
You can't say no at this point in time. But, I mean, I think there are a ton of factors, Joe, between now and then, including how Tannehill does. And I think the Titans will probably be more satisfied with Ryan Tannehill than the media and the public will be, depending on what happens. But, yes, I think we'll spend a lot of next offseason pondering that question without much new evidence. I don't know that we'll have a hell of a lot more than a couple mop-up appearances than we have now to base that conversation on next year. And as I say that, I got a slideshow in my head of Mike Vrabel tossing his head back and rolling his eyes at us at the Combine asking that question.
PK, how much better should Titans fans feel about the tight end position heading into this year as opposed to a year ago?
I mean, it's a one spot, particularly on offense, that is massively better. And I think as people feel better about it, they should also feel regretful, that's not the right word, angry about their approach to it last year, where they were like, oh, we lose Jonnu Smith and we'll just paste Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swaim and Michael Pruitt in there and we'll be fine, which was a foolhardy move from the very beginning. Anthony Firkser currently without a job. Michael Pruitt currently without a job. I wouldn't object to Pruitt back as a fourth, but all those guys were cast too high last year. Austin Hooper's going to be a good player for this team. Chig looks to be good, and Swaim, cast as a third, is about right. So I think that helps. I think you know, going back to two tight will be a good thing for this team, especially considering what it doesn't have at wide receiver. And I think you know, Hooper in particular is going to help make up for receptions lost with AJ Brown gone.
What's your expectation for Derrick Henry, usage and performance?
I think usage will be back to what it was. I don't think they're going to take much off of his plate at all. I don't think their attitude is like, let's save him now to preserve him in any way, shape, or form. I think they'll pile it on. I expect the performance to be good. I want to see him on that foot a couple times, get over the mental hurdle, which we haven't seen yet, and everybody makes like it's a non-factor, but I think everybody needs to see it also. I certainly do. But I'm not so concerned about the foot. I'm concerned about the foot being a harbinger that the breakdown is underway for a guy that's had a billion carries in a short span of time. So, you know, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm crossing my fingers that that's not the first of a chain of issues for Derrick Henry. And if it's not, I expect a big season for him. I wouldn't say 2,000 yards, but I'd say, you know, 1,500 and a lot of touchdowns when they're close to the goal line and some more home run runs. And if they don't get that from him, I think they'll be in trouble because I don't see the explosive element of the passing game, and I think they're going to have to march down the field more systematically than they have in the past with the home runs. Without the home runs, if they don't get home runs from Derrick Henry, then they'll be down home runs in the run game and in the pass game without A.J. Brown.
Paul Kaharsky joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Retro. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for making time to join us.
Good to be with you guys. Have a good day.
I want one of those Music City Malik t-shirts.
Hey,
send me one.
Click on the link and you buy it. There might be a commission.
There we go. You heard it here first. PK, appreciate you, man.
See you guys.
Paul Kaharsky, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. Also, your next opportunity to join the Robbie and Rexro Fantasy Football League as well. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexro, Michelle Knezovic. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got your next chance to win a spot in the second annual Robbie and Rexro Fantasy Football League. By the way, we are a week away from today from the draft, so looking forward to that. Three more spots available, and the next trivia question is this. If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This one is, so it might be a little difficult. We'll see how this goes on the text line. James Wilhoit was a kicker for Tennessee. He had a very memorable kick against Florida back in 2004 to beat the Gators at that time, up until 2016. That was the last time Tennessee had beat Florida. Mm-hmm. So that was a heck of a kick by James Wilhoit in that game. He is a local product here. Which high school did James Wilhoit attend? Which high school did James Wilhoit attend before he was the kicker at the University of Tennessee? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe Rexrode, do you know the answer to this question?
I mean, I only know because you told me. So it's a very
place very close
question.
To my heart.
Oh, see, now you're giving away clues, man.
Well, I feel like it's a pretty difficult question.
But if people pay attention to the show, you just gave it up.
Maybe.
We already got a winner waiting for their name.
Yeah, we already got a winner. We already have multiple people that have correctly guessed the answer. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I'm impressed. Did they need your clue is my question.
I mean, if you sent that text in, you had it before I gave the clue out there. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah. Impressive, man. Impressive.
So we'll wait for official confirmation on the name there.
And there's some interesting wrong answers on here, too.
They're usually are.
God, there's a lot of rights, though.
There's a lot of right answers on it. Well, congratulations to our listeners. I thought this was going to be way more difficult than it ended up being.
Very impressive.
By the way, the correct answer is Hendersonville High School, home of James Will Hoyt, Taylor Swift, Robbie Stanley. Just vibing. Legends one way after the other.
Three legends, the trio of legends.
Oh, man.
You three should put on a concert.
Doesn't get any better than that right there. It's beautiful stuff. Well, we'll get the name of our winner pretty shortly.
Dan
is the winner. Congratulations to Dan.
Oh, no, sorry, Dane.
Oh, Dane.
Sorry.
Dane,
our winner. Dane. Congratulations to Dane, who is the newest member of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. We have two more spots to give away. We will do one tomorrow and one on Friday as well. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Two more spots left in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So looking forward to that.
Unfortunately, this has caused the text line to move on quickly from all of the hilarious Paul Kaharsky texts that we were getting.
You got him fired up there to begin that segment last time out.
See, all you got to do is someone – this is how I've absolutely been in these interviews before where someone's like, you guys, you this, that. And then you just say, well, the Titans – you don't have to correct them. Say, don't say you guy, but you just say, well, the Titans will miss Brett Kern. Kaharsky didn't do it. Kaharsky embraced the idea that this is his team. I think Kaharsky might be the number one homer in town. I'm just
you
saying.
Also
people
love
are saying
fired
it.
Up.
People are saying it. I'm not saying it. People are saying Kaharsky might be a homer. Okay, I don't know. Hey. We'll figure it out.
I know that the DJ Burnside on Twitter has photoshopped PK's face in a Music City Malik shirt.
And it's oh my God,
pretty awesome. Just beautiful stuff. I mean, look, we got trash talk on the text line. JC and Gildersville texting in about Hendersonville, who will lose to Beach on Friday night. I'm going to the Hendersonville Beach game. Big rivalry.
What do you
game.
Think about that?
They're probably right.
What's the line on that one?
I don't know. I'll check the sports book.
All I know is that picture of PK. Is that the actual Music City Malik shirt?
I don't know. I hope so.
What's going on in that? But look at that shirt.
I don't know.
It looks like Malik is like, oh, it's a still shot of that sidearm throw.
Yeah, okay. That throw.
But it looks like he's like trying. He's about to be tackled by like a Greek sculpture. It's very weird. But hey, good luck with that, Paul.
Yeah, good luck. Really appreciate it. So, I think the general consensus from you this morning, and certainly from Kaharsky there. Julius Chestnut making the initial 53-man roster. It sounds confusing. It's kind of weird. Congratulations to him, but maybe he's not going to be there all that long. Kind of the way this is looking.
Yeah, I mean, again, the only way it would be that would not be the case is if Craig Aukerman's like, oh, yeah, man, that's one of my guys. And, I mean, it still would be kind of weird to have that many running backs. But, look, if that's absolutely one of your top handful of guys, core special teams guy, who is going to make a difference for you in that way, well, then you know that does happen at times on teams. You have a sort of a weird number to position because of that. Short of that, yeah, I would look at him and I would look at – I would think Kevin Strong as maybe guys who they can always say, hey, I was on the 53, but the plans are probably to move on once the Titans address – some obvious areas of need, because again, we talked about this earlier, but Terry McCormick reported yesterday that Racy McMath is expected to go on IR, and if that's the case, you have four receivers, and two of them are rookies. You know, one of the rookies, actually I feel better about early, probably playing a little more than the other one, that's Kyle Phillips over Treylon Burks. But I
agree.
I mean, Treylon Burks is going to play, but you have two rookies and four receivers. You got to address that.
You got to address it, and I'll be honest with you, I agree with Kaharsky as well. Like, Des Fitzpatrick to me, like, if he's not really established himself at this point, kind of just is what it is. Like, I'd like to see them go outside of the organization and bring somebody else in. Like, Des Fitzpatrick, I just don't think he's good enough, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he got better. And by the way, let's review. Who were the offseason award winners?
Dylan Raidens and Des Fitzpatrick.
There were others.
There was others.
Too, right?
Let me go back and look, but I know those two were on the list.
So
how much does that mean?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sure they worked hard, but maybe what it means is the ceiling isn't as high as the Titans thought.
Caleb Farley, he was on there.
Yeah. So I mean, he's and that I think
Torrey Carter.
Like, improvement showed for all of them.
Yeah.
But Dez just doesn't – I don't think the ceiling's very high. And I think, you know, Raidens, who wasn't cut, was never probably going to be cut, but he's a backup. So, on the text line, Mark and Paris asking about O.J. Howard, Leatherwood, Dennis Kelly, Jason Spriggs. It looks like O.J. Howard's going to the Bengals.
Looks like O.J. Howard's about to sign in Cincinnati. The other ones, like, you know, Leatherwood, he gets released from the Raiders. All accounts are it wasn't going very well in training camp for him. You know, Dennis Kelly, it's intriguing. Like, he's a guy that, quite frankly, I don't think they should have really ever let get away, and they did. Is he the same guy? Like, he had some good snaps last year in Green Bay. Like, he didn't play really much the first half of the year, and then they ran into some issues on the offensive line, and he had to step in there and play, and he played well. Does he have that left in him now? Like, honestly, with the state of their offensive line right now, I'd be A-OK if the Titans went and signed Dennis Kelly. I think he could fit in and he could play for this team.
Yeah, you just don't know a year later, this camp, right at this moment, what is he?
Yeah.
But I mean, look, I think it's worth a conversation and a look. And I think Marcus Johnson is too. I mean, I understand what Paul is saying. He was hurt a lot of last year, and that's been his career. But in the short term, even, why you wait for Racy McMath to get healthy and wait for Treylon Burks to continue to grow into the offense and be a bigger part of it, if you could get a month out of Marcus Johnson with him not being hurt, I think it's worth looking at that too. I'd be interested to know his participation in Niners camp. I think he's definitely good enough to play on Sundays as a receiver in the NFL.
Well, let me throw one out at you that I think I know what your response is going to be, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, because he's played at times in the NFL and at times has been very good. Josh Gordon, released by Kansas City yesterday. He's 31. Obviously, I think he's been, I don't know how many times he's been suspended at this point. It's been a lot. He was the odd man out in Kansas City. Do you entertain that at all if you're the Titans?
I think he's probably the classic example of big name, big talent at one time. It's been some years.
He played 12 games last year, had 5 catches for 32 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, even like Kansas City's room, it's not like it's teeming with talent anymore. No. You know, so I'd probably go
Valdez Scantling's like their number 2 receiver.
That's insane. I'd probably look elsewhere. Kansas City's going to be interesting. Mahomes is fantastic, but God, Tyreek Hill just made them so impossible to deal with.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll look at the 53-man roster, and could there be more moves coming for the Titans down the pike? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Off to a good start in high school football season around here. I'll be going to a game Friday night. Looking forward to that. And it's good high-level high school football around here, so make sure you tune in for Big Joe and Elijah on Friday night. Talking Titans.
It's a fun show.
It absolutely is. Talking Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So what do you think how the Titans have handled Logan Woodside signals about how they view the number two quarterback spot right now. Woodside, not on the 53-man roster yesterday. I think it is unlikely that he's going to get picked up. My guess is he makes it through to the practice squad. So let's assume that's the case and Woodside makes it through to the practice squad. He's not on the active roster. Does that signal to you that they view Malik Willis as unquestionably the number two? In a pinch, do they activate Woodside and make him the number two? How do you view how the Titans view, that's a lot of viewing, the backup quarterback spot right now?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to put Logan Woodside on the practice squad. I think they will if they can. The idea of we've talked about the idea of other backups out there. I just don't know who's out there who would be all that appealing. I mean, some of the similar people that are out there are people similar to people they brought in and lost previous competitions to Woodside for QB2. So I think that's the plan. I think that makes sense. And then how they would look at it, you know, in a given week will be very interesting. I just feel like in some weeks you should utilize what Malik Willis does for the scout team or the show team, as Mike Vrabel likes to call it. That's, I guess, like scout. It's scout team in the high school and college, and in the NFL, it's a show team. Show team. I guess is that just a Vrabel thing? I don't know. But
I haven't heard very many people call it show team other than Vrabel. That's okay.
So even in general terms, forget like a particular QB that you're playing in a given week. Do you think this defense would get a better look from Logan Woodside or from Malik Willis?
I think Malik Willis.
I do too.
I think arm strength alone.
Yeah, just the throws that he can make are just well beyond like Woodside. I mean, he can do some things with his arm. Woodside flat out can't do. So that'll be interesting. That's kind of maybe an interesting question. Like for Vrabel, although I get, you know, Vrabel and Robinson talked today. I'm trying to remember, keep in mind like the timing of the practice squad. You know, if we know by then that's an easier, you know, question for him to get into.
Well, right? And I would also be curious to know like how much does that matter to them? Like the looks that your defense is going to be getting throughout the week. Like, does that matter enough to where you're making Malik Willis that guy, or if he's number two, he's just number two, and that's the way it's going to be. Like, I wonder how much that weighs into their decision making.
Yeah, no, right, and also, although everything is about trying to win football games now, this is it. You're trying to win football games, which again, that's where the looks, I think, could be beneficial. But you still are. There is still another long term process here of trying to get Malik Willis ready. Like Kaharsky said. The information that we're going to get on him, barring an injury, is going to be very limited until they basically come back next spring and see where he is and see if he's made a huge jump. But is it beneficial for him to get those very limited reps with the twos? I mean, again, once you get into game week, everything is about Tannehill running these plays. The starting offense or anybody who's going to contribute in the offense running these plays that are part of the game plan for that week. So, like, you know, how much growth can Malik Willis have during this season? There's still just a ton needed.
There's a ton needed, and, you know, it's a different time now. You're moving to regular season mode, and the work that he gets in practice just isn't going to be the same. So how much can he improve? You know, the job that Pat O'Hara is going to have is, you know, working with him as much as he can to try to improve while also getting Tannehill ready to go and play in the regular season. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic that he's got now as they head in the regular season portion of the schedule. I look down the rest of the 53-man roster, and they got seven guys at defensive line right now. As PK said earlier in the show, you know, that could be a spot where if you start to add to the roster, some guys come off of the defensive line as well. Nine offensive linemen, including Dylan Radins, who make the team after it was a 75%, maybe even 85% chance that he wouldn't, according to Jared Stillman.
Yes. So I want to hear the spin. What is the spin on that?
I don't know. Jamarco Jones making the team.
Yeah, I was wrong. Well, I was wrong on that one.
So nine guys on the offensive line. You know, I still wonder, you made the trade the other day for Davis, but do you Are you interested if you're John Robinson and maybe adding somebody else, whether it's Dennis Kelly or otherwise, to that room right now and cutting bait with somebody else? I'm interested to see if they're done on offensive line.
Yeah, I think they're probably done. They made the trade, but the Dennis Kelly thing is it's got to be worth a conversation. They decided to move on from him, and it's just been very interesting at right tackle since they lost Jack Conklin to the Browns. I know there was interest in bringing him back, but they didn't offer enough. And then you go, Kelly does pretty well, but nah. And then you have all these different guys you're trying to bring in, and then you're like, nah, go with Questenberry. And he does okay, and then you move on from him. And now the Bills kept him, So now Kelly's out there floating around. I don't know. What would Kelly right now be compared to Nicholas Petit-Frere as a rookie?
I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, I would probably feel better about Kelly being in the swing tackle than I would starting at tackle right now, but that you've already got guys there. Like, do they view Dylan Raidens as a swing tackle? Do they view Davis as a swing tackle who they just brought in? Like, I'm really interested to see how they would view that moving forward, but that's something to keep an eye on there. Only four outside linebackers that the Titans keep. We feel good about those four, but I thought there was maybe a chance that they would keep five. They keep four inside linebackers as well. Pretty crowded secondary. Josh Kalu making the team. Lonnie Johnson making the team. Trey Avery on the team as well right now. And no Theo Jackson as well back there for the Titans at safety.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised by Theo Jackson. I feel like in preseason games he did pretty well. Certainly they started moving him around. They put him in the nickel a little bit. And that was kind of maybe a little bit of a sign that they just weren't sure about him and his role. At safety, A.J. Moore, again, is the third safety. I think Theo Jackson's a good candidate for the practice squad and a guy who down the road could be an active roster guy.
We brought this up earlier, but after Larrell Murchison cut yesterday, Chris Jackson cut yesterday, as it stands today, the 2020 draft class for the Titans, there's one guy left. It's Christian Fulton. Now, albeit, I like Christian Fulton. I feel pretty good about him in the season that he's going to have this year. But that means your first-round pick in Isaiah Wilson, your third-round pick in Darrington Evans, Larrell Murchison in the fifth round, Cole McDonald, and Chris Jackson in the seventh round are all gone for the Titans for the 2020 draft. We're 2 years later. You got one guy left from that draft. It's pretty crazy.
It's we earlier kind of tried to look at it relative to other terrible drafts in franchise history. It's in there.
It's up there. 2013 is another contender.
Yeah, Chance Warmack action. Yeah.
Justin Hunter in round two.
I mean, maybe Christian Fulton ends up going to like three Pro Bowls in his career or something, and it's like, well, he saved the day. Still a really bad class. I'm pretty confident saying that will be the worst class John Robinson drafts for the Titans. If not, boy, it's going to get ugly. Yeah, I mean, the next one will be one of his last. But the interesting thing, too, is 21 looks better, certainly, than 20 right now. But this one, so far, very early, a lot of contributors. There's some starters. There's some contributors. And we still have no idea on the first-round pick if he's going to be a first-round pick receiver. But he's going to be something for this team this year. The early returns on this draft class are pretty good.
They are. I mean, look, number one, for the most part, they got through camp and were healthy, right? I mean, that's been a problem in the past with some of these draft classes. They hadn't been on the field. Burks, he missed some time, but he was out there for the most part. McCreary was out there for the most part. Petit-Frere was out there the whole time. Malik Willis was out there the whole time. Haskins, Okonkwo, Phillips, Jackson, Campbell. I mean, they're all out there. That's a big deal in and of itself, comparatively speaking, to the past few years.
Yeah, no doubt. I just have to read this text. Can I do this?
Okay.
I'm going off topic real fast. Unnamed. Why is Paul so angry? He's vertically challenged. The Chrome Dome. His annoying voice. His mother didn't love him enough. Poor Music City Malik t-shirt sales, or F all of the above.
Well, the Chrome Dome stuff. Let's be easy.
Yeah, let's ease up on the Chrome Dome.
Let's ease up on the ball people over here, okay?
Well, some people, I mean, the Chrome Dome is a very stylish look.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know with
cultured.
I honestly don't know with Kaharski, like, Did he just go chrome dome? Or at one point, did he have like the hair around the ears? I don't know. Anyway, thank you for ripping Paul on the text line. I appreciate that, folks.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app as well. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair this week. Joe Rex Road, I turn it over to you.
All right, it's a thematic edition. This is the sad college parent edition. First day of school. By the way, for Jack up at Michigan State. So, anyway, that's been on the mind a lot, so we're going to go that way. Okay. So, would you like to go sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Okay, non-sports. And this is one of the many emotions swirling was Katie and I last weekend were like, you know, like, would you just, like, move into this dorm right now and just, like... just live here and just this will be our life. I like, let's do it, man. If they would let us live in the dorms, I would totally do it.
Get on the Facebook group and start whining enough. Oh, maybe they will.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Become an RA, Rex.
Yes. I'd be a really good one of those. So you can put yourself back into 1 year of your life. And I guess I'm kind of thinking of it in terms of school year, but it doesn't have to be that.
Okay.
What is that? You can relive that. What is it?
Mine's my senior year of high school. And I say that because, number one, almost zero responsibility, which at the time did not appreciate whatsoever. Very much so appreciate it now. But number two, this was my – so we had four classes, so four blocks in high school. My first block was senior project in the office, which basically consisted of me doing nothing and every now and then going to get food for the people in the office. Second block was PE. Third block was a computer class where – basically, we played pinball in there, and we learned a little bit. We learned how to type words per minute. And fourth block was journalism. That was my high school schedule. My fall.
That is
my
sweet.
My first semester of my senior year.
That is great. Sweet. I had typewriting and art and what else did I have? Oh, yearbook. But I think yours takes the cake.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got out after fourth period too. It was great. Mine actually is going to be freshman year of college. Because I moved a million miles away from home, and I think it was the hardest but, like, best growth year for me as a young adult. Met my best friends in the entire world, but really hard, and then I also really realized to appreciate my parents. Doing laundry, you know, cooking,
I like that. I like
being responsible.
I like that energy
for your finances and not being like, oh, can I have gas money? I don't have any gas or anything like that. And you actually realize, you know, how many times the dishwasher is run and things like that, and how many times you actually have to do laundry. So freshman year teaches you so much, and I probably would go back to there.
Can we just point out for a second that Michelle had like this great answer about things that she learned, and mine was basically an excuse to go back and be as lazy as I could possibly be.
That's okay, though. Okay.
I think they both have a lot of value.
You're a real adult right now, so that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still kind of trying to be one.
I love you. Like, I'd love to go back to 5 years ago when I was a freshman in college.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, it actually was seven.
Ah, yes. Yeah, you're getting old. I'm with you, though. Freshman year, for sure. And just for one thing, if nothing else, the freaking Red Hot Chili Peppers Pearl Jam Smashing Pumpkins concert for $5 that I could have gone to.
Oh, man.
That alone is why I'm going back to that year. Okay, sports. My son Jack attends his first college football game Friday as a student. The most memorable college sports game you've ever attended, not as a media person.
Mm. There's actually a few that come to mind. One of which was the Tennessee-Purdue game last year. It was awesome. Ooh. In the Music City Bowl. I was at another Music City Bowl comes to mind, Tennessee-North Carolina.
Oh, dually time.
That one was quite something. Those are two that are near the top of the list. I would probably, just because I think most people don't believe that it's ever happened, go back to 2006, the last time Tennessee beat Alabama. I was in the stands for that one. That was a good game. Arian Foster with a touchdown that game. Mike Shula was the head coach for Alabama. And the next year, some guy named Nick Saban showed up, and Tennessee's not won a game since then. So that's a pretty good game. I'd go back to that one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Listen, Arian Foster is going to Tennessee, Florida this year. Maybe it'll be a good luck charm when you guys can finally win again.
Is he really?
Yeah.
And Tennessee fans, for the most part, I don't think like Arian Foster all that much.
He's a Barstool guy.
He's an interesting guy.
My favorite is, it was November 5th, 2016. My dad came and visited me at Kentucky. Georgia came to Kentucky. It was an absolutely incredible game. Kentucky almost won. It was like 27-24 at the end. Almost. And yes, I know that they lost, and I know that I'm saying this as my favorite moment. But I pretty much worked all the basketball games as media.
Man.
So, oh, actually, just kidding. I'm switching my answer really quick. I camped out for college game day for Kentucky basketball, Kansas, 2016, same year, from like 4 a.m. I got picked to try to do the half court shot for State Farm College Game Day, but then I didn't get to be the finalist. We beat Kansas. I was front row for the student section wearing blue and white overalls, and it was incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty good. By the way,
just point out that her football moment was a game that they.
Oh, don't even.
Okay. Well, but look, I mean, they almost beat Georgia, although that year Vanderbilt and Derek Mason went to Georgia and did beat Georgia. But I'm just saying.
Well, 2016, they almost Tennessee beat Georgia on a Hail Mary, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, they did. All right. How's that one? That's a memorable one as a media person
I
for
bet
me.
It is.
Mine is going to be Derek Mason with a punt return in the snow.
Yeah.
Michigan State, Nick Saban's first Michigan game against Lloyd Carr, first game. Incredibly cold, but like just an incredible game. And yeah, Tony Banks, it was just this amazing football game. All right, if there's a college course you wish you could have taken that you didn't, what would that be?
A college course.
You could make one up too.
Well, okay, so my last year there, so I was at MTSU. And I had a minor, and then all of a sudden they looked at me like, "Hey, you need another minor." Okay, cool. So I took leisure as a minor.
That's a good minor.
And I was like, "Yeah,
theme with you here today."
Yeah, real big leisure guy on the program here. But they had like I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was basically like if you're in a state park, like how to run the state park was the class. I didn't take it, but I wanted to.
That'd be fun.
That may be a retirement job for Robbie someday.
I like that.
So I have two, and they were both offered at UK, but they're really hard to get into. So one was floral arrangement class, and you go to like a greenhouse and you learn how to put different colors of flowers and to make it look pretty for your home someday, and I feel like that would be very beneficial. And then the other one was either wine tasting or bourbon tasting. And
that's pretty good.
That one's pretty self-explanatory, but essentially you learn like which wines taste good with what foods or how to actually tell somebody like why it is this way or something. Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
That would be great because I like wine and bourbon, and I don't know a damn thing about either one of them.
Yeah, same. I'm like, oh, this one's good. And they're like, but how does it taste? And I'm like, you can try it.
It's got an oaky finish. Yeah, mine would be public speaking. I think it's pretty obvious on this show, but I'd be less of a stumbling, muttering chump if I had done that. I'm a terrible public speaker. I cannot speak in front of people. And I feel like the whole thing of like, imagine them in their underwear. Show. Dude, I know. But it's like, imagine people in their underwear. It doesn't work at all for me. That Brady Bunch episode was a load of crap.
So yeah, I wanted to see I really wish I would have taken that.
What's that?
I said, I wanted to see you speak to class. You said you get nervous.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's like questions. If you ask me a question, if it's prepared, then it's toast. So, all right, last thing. The best college football player people don't know about or don't know enough about because he didn't make it in the NFL.
Oof, that's a good one. The best college football player people don't know enough about. You start on this one. Let me brainstorm.
So I'm going to the 85 Heisman race, and I understand that people know Bo Jackson was great. I mean, Bo Jackson is a legendary name in sports. But I still don't think people totally get how incredible he was. I think he's probably the closest thing to Derrick Henry. They're different. He's not nearly as big. But just the speed-power combination of Bo Jackson. But I'm also in tandem with that. It was Bo Jackson, and it was Chuck Long at Iowa. It was one of the best Heisman races of all time. It was extremely close. And Chuck Long, I've said this before on the program, he didn't go to the freaking Lions. And he got hurt, but he probably got hurt because he was on the freaking Lions. Yeah. I think he could have been a great NFL quarterback. So there you go, 85 Heisman race.
Okay. There's some Tennessee and Vanderbilt players running through my mind right now. Like, Earl Bennett, to me, is probably my answer. Like, the guy was unbelievable.
And he was a good pro.
He was good in the pros, but nobody really knew exactly who he was in the pros. He was, especially at that time in the SEC, it was a different league. He owned all sorts of records. He was pretty good. I'll go Earl Bennett.
That's a good one.
Okay, this one's hard for me because Kentucky, we're just not even going to go there.
They all go on a big NFL
career. Yeah, yeah.
No, but I think the first one that came to my mind, and he was known, but known for different things. Maybe it's because I just watched the documentary, the Monte Teo documentary, but he basically just went into the NFL and then just had a very, very disappointing career. But he's basically known for now the whole catfish thing, and I don't know, maybe people just... But he was phenomenal Notre Dame. I mean, he helped change Notre Dame and bring them to a national championship game. No, they didn't win. He was up for the Heisman, you know, and then just all this came out, and that's all he's really known for now, which is unfortunate.
The funniest thing about that is when people are like, you know, if this wouldn't have happened, that national title game was like
they could have won that game 75.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
But he's a good call. Real quick, Andrew with Marcus Lattimore, great call. Junie Brian Brahm, good call. Matt Jones of Arkansas is a very good call, too.
There's a vote for Tommy Frazier on there, too.
Tommy Frazier is a great call. That's a great call. Eric Crouch. Ah, Nebraska glory days.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys
bring them back in
the NFL from there.
This has been The Choice is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll look ahead at the Baltimore Ravens in our look around the AFC. Jeff Zeribek from The Athletic will join us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.